The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
Reflect back on 2020 and think about the things that helped you to be a better person, a better man, better woman, better son, better daughter, better husband, better wife. Better father, better mother. Think about these things so that you can go forward, so that you can press on. You know, it says in Philippians 4 and 8 to dwell on those things that are pure, dwell on those things that are good. Let's start trying to find those positives. See, leadership is not about telling people what they can't do. Leadership is about telling people what they can do, what they can accomplish. And I think that as we close out 2020, we need to think about the positives. Without a doubt, we had losses. You know, my wife, Angela, lost her mother right before Thanksgiving. Patricia Graham. She was just 82. Just a fun, full of life Jamaican woman who raised an incredible 6 kids, all successful. Was the wife to a career military master sergeant, retired, Ronald Keith Graham, who passed away 3 years ago, New Year's Eve. Patricia Graham, my wife's mom, she will eventually be laid to rest with her husband, Ronald Keith Graham, master sergeant, United States Army, retired, 2 tours of Vietnam, 24-year veteran of the United States Army. They'll be reunited in Arlington National Cemetery. And I remember the memorial service and the reflection of all the kids, my brothers-in-law, and of course my wife. And they reflected back on that incredible woman, that incredible life that she led, the life that enabled them to be successful, doctors, lawyers, software engineers, chemical engineers, financial advisors. That's what we have to do. Even in these hard moments, as it says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, even in the trials and tribulations, look for those things that help us produce our perseverance and our character and our hope. That's what we need to reflect back on 2020. Now, we lost them. Other great iconic figures in this past year. Who could ever forget Bond, James Bond? Sean Connery, the definitive James Bond. The reason why I wanted to be a scuba diver was because of that movie Thunderball, when Sean Connery was underneath the water and they were shooting people with spear guns in there. I was like, I got to scuba dive. I remember Eddie Van Halen. Who could ever forget, as a United States Army paratrooper, that Van Halen song, Jump? But in their loss, we reflect back on the incredible memories that they gave us. We reflect back on the memories of those that we have lost this year and how they touched our lives, how they made us better for who we are. Like I said, my mother-in-law, Patricia Graham. So let's reflect back and try to find the positives out of all the things that have happened in this incredible, tumultuous year that we call 2020. And I will tell you something that I'm really appreciative of. I see more Americans right now starting to read and pay attention to the United States Constitution. That's a really good thing. The topic, the theme, however you want to call it for this show, reflection. Reflecting back on 2020, what can we learn? What can we ascertain from this year? How can we grow from this? How can we become a more perfect union? you know, those words from the preamble of the Constitution. When I reflect back on 2020, and I gave you my personal reflection from the motorcycle accident of May the 23rd of this year, but there is something else that I want to reflect on that is really near and dear to my heart. Four generations of men in my family have served this great nation in combat. My dad in World War II, my older brother in Vietnam. I did it for 22 years, combat tours. And also now my nephew, who just recently got promoted to lieutenant colonel. He's had three trips over into the sandboxes. And when I think about some of the themes that have come out this year, one theme that really is disconcerting and very concerning for me, it's this theme about America being a racist nation. It's funny, Rhonda Kay, you know, before we start the show, she always comes in and we have our, you know, little update time to make sure we're on the same sheet of music. And she told me about how, you know, when Mark is here, he gets calls from a few people that always want to talk about America being a racist country. But yet when I'm here, guest hosting, I don't think those same people call in. See, I want you to think about something. Here I am, guest hosting Mark Davis's radio show, a very well-known conservative talk radio host, a voice that goes all across North Texas. I'm a kid that was born in 1961 in a blacks-only hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. And here I am, sitting here at Mark Davis's desk, broadcasting across North Texas. How can that happen if I live in a country that's racist? How can that happen if I'm living in a country that still only sees me by my skin color? That's not what America sees me as. America looks at me based upon my potential, what I can do, what I can achieve, the opportunities that I take advantage of that enable me to sit here in this chair. In this past year, everything became racist. I even have been referred to as a black white supremacist. Yeah, that still makes me laugh. When I was selected to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, the Texas Democrat Party put out a press release saying that Republicans had elected a racist to head their party. Yeah, the Texas Democrat Party called me a racist. See, everything now is racist. Even COVID-19, people said COVID, and I'm still trying to understand what do we do for COVID 1 through 18. But anyhow, COVID-19 is supposedly racist because it disproportionately affects the black community. But the real issue that we should have been looking at is health conditions in the black community, the obesity issue, the heart disease issue, the diabetes issues, the heart hypertension issue. That's what we should have been focusing on instead of once again trying to take something and leverage it for an ideological agenda. This organization that has popped up called Black Lives Matter, and it's all over the place. I mean, I've seen banners at churches. The NBA had it plastered all over their courts last year. I think that's why the NBA had a very low viewing season. But think about this. If you say all lives matter, now you're accused of being a white supremacist. And even the United States Army, their inclusion and diversity department, I have no idea what that is about. There was no inclusion and diversity department in my 22 years in the United States Army. But all of a sudden they say that if you say all lives matter, that's a reflection of being a white supremacist, a reflection of white supremacy. You know, we just got finished celebrating Christmas. God did not send his only begotten son for one group or another group. He sent it to save all souls because all souls matter. But yet here we are in 2020, still trying to segregate ourselves. See, the number one issue in the Black community, and I've said this before, but I want us to finish strong. I want us to think about this. I want us to reflect upon this so that we don't go into 2020 still hearing all this stuff about America's a racist nation. The number one issue in the Black community is fatherlessness. The destruction, the decimation, the breakdown of the traditional nuclear family, which, oh, by the way, if you go to the Black Lives Matter website, I think they tried to scrub it off, but it's been screenshotted. Everyone knows it. But the traditional nuclear family, according to Black Lives Matter, is a symbol of white supremacy. So, yeah, me growing up in a traditional nuclear family, mother and father in the home, now all of a sudden that's supposed to be a symbol of white supremacy. We cannot go into 2021 still talking about America's racist nation. We cannot go into 2021 believing that only a certain group of people based upon their skin pigmentation matter more than other people. And people are afraid to say anything contrary to this. You know, I've always told folks, anytime someone comes up to you and say Black Lives Matter, just ask them which Black lives. No one talks about the Black babies that are murdered in the womb. And if you really want to talk about racism and racists, then look at that organization, Planned Parenthood, that was founded by a white supremacist, a racist, a woman who spoke at Klan rallies that referred to Blacks as undesirables and weeds. And yet we have between 70 to 73% of Planned Parenthood clinics located where? In Black communities, inner city communities, urban communities. Since Roe v. Wade, 1973, over 20 million Black babies have been murdered in the womb. But yet no one's talking about that. Someone came up and with this word racism. President Trump is a racist. The man who gave the most support, financial support to historic Black colleges and universities is a racist. The man who earlier this year in his State of the Union address on the spot gave a 9-year-old Black girl from a single parent home in Philadelphia an education opportunity scholarship on the spot, State of the Union address in front of all America, in front of all the world, gave her that scholarship. But he's a racist. The man who brought unemployment in the Black community down to a record low, never seen before, he's a racist. See, my concern is that if we continue to go down this path of everything is racism, then when we really do see instances of real racism, it's not going to matter. The New York Times and the 1619 Project, if you haven't heard about the 1619 Project, you need to look it up because this is being taught to our kids now. That America was not established on July the 4th of 1776. America was established back in 1619 when the very first slave ship reached our shores. See, if we are going to learn from 2020, if we're going to be stronger, if we're going to finish strong, if we're going to go into 2021 a better nation, we got to put behind us this demonization of America. Let's be honest. I mean, in 2008, most people said, let's elect Barack Obama to be president so no longer do we have this stigma on us. And what has happened since 2008? We're going backwards. We're going after our police, our law enforcement, instead of going after the gangs and the real issue inside the Black communities. You know the real numbers. In Chicago, Detroit, every major urban population center, the shootings, the deaths. We're not talking about that. We've taken this thing, racism, and we've leveraged it. We've taken this thing, fascism. This is another thing that I think we need to reflect back on. We do want a free press in the United States of America. We want a free, objective press. We don't want a propagandized media who picks and chooses what information, what stories, what knowledge the American people should have. Who would have ever thought that we would have media outlets, traditional media or social media, making a decision about which stories the American people should have? That's manipulation. We cannot go into 2021 having this high level of fascism in this country. And when I think about fascism, I think about this group that really popped up in this year, Antifa. Anti-fascist. That's what they say. But yet they go out and they beat up people. They attack people. They have a thought, a perspective, a belief, an ideology that's different from theirs. That is fear, coercion, intimidation, violence, in order to advance your beliefs. That's not how we go forward in the United States of America. That's one of the things that we need to reflect back on, and we need to make sure that we don't continue that and carry it over into a new year. We cannot be stronger if we continue to allow people to demonize, denigrate, disparage us as racist for an ideological agenda advancement. We cannot have people that are here in the United States of America that are picking and choosing and saying what we can hear, what we can say, what we can do. And they use the power that they have through the airwaves to do exactly that. The fact that there were people in the United States of America going into this election cycle had no idea about the Hunter Biden story. That tells you something. That's something we should reflect back on to say that we must commit ourselves to make sure that never happens again. I remember growing up with Huntley Brinkley. They just gave you the news. They didn't decide what was the news. And the last thing we got to reflect on, and we got to make sure that we get our kids to understand this, because we look at our colleges and universities and even down to our high schools now. This whole thing about socialism being cool is nothing cool about being subjugated to control freaks. It is nothing cool about wealth redistribution. There's nothing cool about nationalizing economic production. There's nothing cool about the welfare nanny state. There's nothing cool about social egalitarianism. Basically, everyone is equal. See, social justice is nothing more than the forced, mandated equality of outcomes. But yet we hear everyone talking about being a social justice warrior. And the last thing, as we reflect back on 2020, never again should we allow Home Depot to be open, Walmart, liquor stores, marijuana stores, for church doors to be closed. There were churches burned in 2020. There were Bibles burned in 2020 in these United States of America, where your inalienable rights are endowed to you from our Creator God, the Judeo-Christian God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The secular humanism that we see overtaking our country, when we reflect back on this, the holiest day in the Christian faith, the day that is the basis of the Christian faith, Easter, Resurrection Day, we can't have churches closed on that day. Never again. Reflections on 2020. What we learned, how we can become stronger, and how we will finish strong.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.